The first reading is from Matthew 16, beginning in the 13th verse. Now when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" And they said, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter replied, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered him, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Then he strictly charged the disciples to tell no one that he was the Christ. The word of the Lord.
Our second reading is from Romans 12, beginning with the third verse. "For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of himself more lightly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body we have many members, and the members do not always have the same function, so we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another." The word of the Lord.
All right, so we're reading Ephesians 2, starting at the 19th verse. "So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole structure, being joined together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord. In him you will also are being built together in a dwelling place for God by the Spirit."
Well, I do want to tell you this. Today I'm preaching on both disunity and unity. We're living a little of that out right here in front of you today. Well, good morning. In my job, I travel a little bit, or my wife might tell you I travel a lot, but when I do travel, I love to go the back roads. I always have, because you just get to see a lot of cool things. And one of the things I love is the little church. It looks like it might seat 40 people, and that's standing room only. Almost every mile, it seems like, and I'll get in that a second. But I love to read the signs. So I wanted to share a few signs with you that I've seen through the years. I write them down, went online, found a couple. And you know, they have funny signs and they have really meaningful signs. One of them is, "Pleasant words bring encouragement to the soul." Second one, "Tired of your religion? Try a relationship. Details inside." "A true friend is one who walks in when others walk out." I love this one. You heard me talk about this one, I think, the last time I was here. "Turn off the news and love your neighbor." Now I get to my favorite ones. "How do you make holy water? You boil the hell out of it." "Honk if you love Jesus. Text while driving if you want to meet him today." My mom's here today, and I know she's going to love this one because I bought her a sign one time about this. "I was hooked on hokey pokey, but I turned myself around." And all of us, male, female, everybody in this room is going to like this one. "Cremation is your last chance for a smoking hot body." The second thing I like to do is count churches, because there's a lot of churches. And I went and picked my mom up Friday. And we drove back down. And from Bishopville High School, and many of y'all probably know where that is on I-20, to my house in Pawleys Island is 95 miles. There were 37 churches in that 95 miles. And it was late at night, so we might have missed a few. But I went to Walford, so I'm not the sharpest guy in the room. But that's an average, if you spread them out, of a church every 2.5 miles. That's a lot of churches, isn't it? But I remember years ago, a dear friend of mine was a pastor up at Ocean View Baptist Church, and we were talking about this one day, because I said, "Steve, I just love driving through the country, da-da-da-da-da," and he was a country preacher before he came to one of the largest Baptist churches around. And I said, "What is it about this, Steve? I mean, what creates these churches? I've even seen the same denomination 100 feet apart. If you go 521, you'll see that. There's a AME church, and then there's another one right here. They even almost share a parking lot." And he said, "Well," he said, "my immediate response would just simply be disunity. Somebody got mad at somebody and said, I'll go build my own church." And they do, and they did. And sadly, metaphorically, and maybe even literally, this happens today in today's world. Even today. Sometimes people don't get along and somebody's got enough money or enough pull or enough people to go with them and go, "Well, we'll just go do our own thing." And my feeling is this really saddens God that's what the world looks like. So, and that's a sermon for another day, because when people get angry with each other, when people hate each other or hate someone to that level, I don't think that brings any joy to God. And there's a lot of that in this world today, but I'll save that for another Sunday. But my prayer is we decide to change the world by how we live and how we love each other. Not, okay, I'll go do my own thing so I can have my way, because that just doesn't work well. So today I'm going to look at this reading from Ephesians. It was so beautifully read. Because this is a church, an early church, that was experiencing just what I'm talking about. Disunity, a breaking up, breaking apart. So let me pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. And Lord, I don't care what goes wrong or what goes right today. We're here to honor you. We're here to receive from you. So Lord, I just pray over what I'm about to say and pray that it comes from you. Pray that it was given to me by you. And Lord, I pray that our ears and eyes would be open and that we would leave here different than which we came. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, this reading from Ephesians 19 takes a little bit of a backstory, because what's going on here in the church of Ephesus is you've got the Jews and you've got the Gentiles. And this, when you immediately hear this in the Bible, if you don't know about it, is if you did not come from the lineage of Abraham, you were basically outcast. You were the other people. The Jews, the Israelites, they were the in crowd, and everybody else, which includes me and you, we came, our lineage is from the non-Abraham people. So this is what was going on. And the Jews thought the Gentiles, even though they had been saved by the blood of Jesus Christ, they didn't quite stack up spiritually. You know, yeah, you were saved, but you aren't there yet. You hadn't quite got there yet. And then on top of that, Jews and Gentiles never mixed socially. That was unheard of. So again, as I hate to say, this is something we hear today in the world we live in. And even when I hear myself say it, I wish we could change that like really quick. That we might look at other people so differently that we'll not have anything to do with them. Now, if you hear that, I hope it moves you a little bit to go, I do it, you do it, I don't want to do it anymore. I don't like the way it sounds. But the Gentiles were not included in anything of what I'd call the life, the day-to-day. They were alienated from the commonwealth of the Israelites. They had no status. They were saved by Jesus, and they knew that, and they were probably on fire for it, but beyond that, in their life, their day-to-day life, they had no status. They were strangers. We call them sojourners. They could live alongside the Jews. They could live in the same country. They could not own land, and they had very few, if any, citizenship rights. So this is the backstory, and this is really what Paul had talked about earlier in the chapter. And then when you get to chapter 4, he talks about the unity in the church. But we're right in the middle where Paul is saying, hey, it's time to get this act together, folks. And I'm going to walk through some scriptures for you, and I'm going to tell you what needs to be happening in Ephesus, in your church. But I'd like to go back to verse 12 in chapter 2. Because this is what he's saying to the Gentiles, okay? So he's going to lay down, don't worry about it. Don't worry about how you're being treated. Don't worry about what's going on. Remember that you were at that time separated from Christ. This is before they accepted Christ. Alienated from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But then in verse 19, the first verse that we heard, Paul is declaring something that changes their lives, changes my life, changes your life. Anyone who has accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior, he's saying to them, you are no longer strangers or aliens. You are full-blown, as good as it gets, members of the household of God. I like the way that sounds too. He says, so then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints, not necessarily with the Jews or anybody, any other people. You are fellow citizens with the saints and the members of the household of God. This is how he starts out. So I'd like to say real simply, he's saying it's official now. The dividing wall is down. It's kind of like when that Berlin Wall went down. You remember that night where you're watching TV and they cut that little hole? People started going through, and I mean, it broke loose. And people were free that had not been free. I picture that here. Gentiles, me, Skip, you guys, we're in. We're now in. We don't have to worry about this. We're not going to be treated like this anymore. We're equal. We're now fellow citizens and full members of the household of God. But here's the best part. And this is the best part because we can take this from here. We can change this stinking world that we're living in where there's so much hate. People seem to love to hate somebody, some group of people. But in this family that you're in, when you accept Jesus Christ, we all are equal. I don't care what you think you are. I don't think what you think you have. Doesn't matter. In God's eyes, we're all equal. Be it race, be it sex, be it color, be it language, we all are one. Little simple three-letter word, we all are one. And that's great. I mean, we get to live that way here, but I really want to kick in kind of the topper on all of this, and that is, brothers and sisters of Jesus, this citizenship goes way beyond how we live today, day to day in our everyday lives. It's so much bigger than that. This is literally a heavenly citizenship. You don't need to know a secret handshake. You don't have to have any secret papers. When you accept the Lord Jesus Christ, you're in. And God's going to welcome you. I don't care what you've done. I don't care where you're from. I don't care who you are. God is going to welcome us all in equally. And that's a beautiful sight. And then here's what Paul wrote in Philippians about this heavenly citizenship. But there's far more to life for us. We're citizens of high heaven. We're waiting on the arrival of the Savior, the Master, Jesus Christ, who will transform all earthly bodies into glorious bodies like his own. He'll make us beautiful and whole with the same powerful skill by which he is putting everything as it should be under and around him. Now, I don't know what your plan for the future is. It might be to live a long, long life and a lot of years, but the minute that you accepted Jesus Christ, I don't care what happens to you, you're going to be with Jesus in a beautiful world, in a beautiful place. And there's not going to be hate, and there's not going to be anger. There's not going to be disunity. We're all going to look at each other completely different than we do today. And you see, in this house of God, being a member of this house of God, this household, there's this intimacy that comes with it, even earthly, because this is our snapshot, prayerfully, this is our snapshot of what heaven is going to look like. So I feel a sense of urgency that when we leave here today, we need to show people that may not know what heaven's going to look like, what heaven's going to look like. Maybe they just look over there and see us do something and go, something different about him, something different about her. And they want to know what that is. That is being adopted into the household of God. That is being brothers and sisters with Jesus Christ. That's what that looks like. And that's why people look different, people act different, and people do different things. It draws us closer together. The group we're in now starts getting bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger because everybody's welcome. It's not the country club. It's not the I go to this church and we don't want more than 100 people there on Sundays because we really like how it is. It's not the friendship group. It starts bringing everybody into everything. And I believe that can change the world. But we have to do it. We have to go do it. But as we get drawn closer together, let us bring in those that don't know what love feels like, that those don't know what closeness feels like. In Jesus, we are one people under God. We're a community of believers. We belong together, and we belong unified. And if we aren't, shame on us, because we are making God very sad when he brings us together. And really, that's what the church is all about. I'm going to get deeper into this in a minute, but you know, this is God's house. Let me say, you know what? This isn't God's house. You are God's house. God, he owns everything on this planet. Everything that you own is God's, because he created it all. So, I mean, he might be impressed with this building, but he'd really be impressed if you lived like a member of the household of God. And that's what Paul's saying to these people. You got to stop this stuff. You got to come together. You see, we are his community. We are his people. But more so, my friends, we are his church. Secondly, this household, this family, it's not going anywhere. It's built on a solid foundation. Verse 20, built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone. I love the Message Bible because it kind of spreads out a little more, talks in everyday language. Here's what Eugene Peterson wrote in translation. God is building a home. He's using us all, irrespective, listen to this, irrespective of how we got here, in what he's building. Remember, we're all equal. He used the apostles and the prophets for the foundation. Now he's using you, because the prophets and the apostles are gone. We're what was left behind. Fitting you in brick by brick, stone by stone, with Christ Jesus as the cornerstone that holds together all the parts. Paul's comparing the church and the church family to a building. He's trying to get us to really understand what it is he's talking about. And he's saying the foundation of the church when it was founded were the teachings. The foundation was not the apostles. It was not the prophets. But it was the teachings of the apostles and the prophets about Jesus Christ himself, who is the cornerstone. You see, they were the first to believe in him and called by him. Then they went out as he instructed and told people about him. But Jesus himself is the true rock, the true cornerstone of the whole church and the church family. In Roman days, a cornerstone was the largest stone that they used. It was in the foundation, but they put that stone there, and everything they did was not only put on top of it, but was measured from it. Nothing about that building could be right without starting first at this cornerstone that they put down. And then everything that came up either was perfect or it's not here today because it's gone, because it wasn't built on and around the cornerstone. Years ago, I worked with my dad, and we built houses, and I was pretty young in the construction business. And this is something he used to say to me. He said, Skip, the most important thing of any home or structure building you're ever going to build is what you don't see. Anybody know what that means? Yeah. It's the foundation. If you build a home on a poor foundation, it might be 6 weeks, 6 months, 6 years, you're going to start seeing cracks everywhere. The brick will start separating. It's going to cost you $1 million to get it jacked back up on one end because the foundation was poor. And it changes not only the structure, but all the cosmetics about how everything looks. So a bad foundation is a bad start. And I can tell you this, if that foundation isn't strong enough and it shifts, the building shifts, it'll eventually shift off of the foundation and crumble. It's happened with civilizations, it's happened with nations, it's happened with churches, it's happened with buildings and businesses. Think about it. Because it's metaphorically, if you build anything, you build it on a strong foundation. That's why every church, meaning the people of that church, have to be built on the cornerstone of Jesus Christ and who he is and what he did for us that we could not do for ourselves and bring us back into communion with God. Thirdly, you and I are here for a reason. We're not spectators. And that reason is not just, yeah, I want to contribute a little bit. The reason is literally divine. Here's what Paul writes in verse 21. In whom the whole building, being fitted together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord. Did you hear that? The whole building, not part of it, not those of you that want to be fitted in. The whole building, being fitted together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord. So as a believer, before you were a believer, we were separated from God. As a believer, you've been brought back into the household of God. But when you get back into the household, now you got to find out where you fit. Where am I supposed to be in this? What am I supposed to do? See, what Paul is referring to this as a whole structure, the church of God. And each one of us, God is using to fit together. So that tells me we're not there yet. There's somebody that's going to join Christ's church, and they're going to fit. I don't know when. I don't know which one of you guys is going to introduce yourself to them and say, hey, you ought to come to church with me one Sunday. But there are people out there. There are bricks and stones out there waiting to come and finish building this church. And that's true with every church. God wants everybody in. Let's have to start meeting in 80,000 seat stadiums, not 100 or 12 or 200 seat buildings. You know, you go over to Uganda They don't seat. They have 20, 30,000 people. 20 or 30,000 people show up on Sunday to hear what God is doing. And they can't get enough. They want to be part of what God's doing. And when you see from 10,000 feet in the air and you look down and say, what is that? And they zoom in, you go, oh, that's people. They're not in a building. But it is a church. We had a bunch of kids here a week and a half ago that sang. And thank the Lord for people that have helped them. But they're rescuing kids. And one of their first goals is for those kids and those adults that they rescue to come to know the Lord Jesus. It's pretty important stuff. Each one of us is a living stone. That's what Paul is talking about. This incredible, valuable piece that if it's not in its right place and if it's not in the whole construction project, then the church isn't quite where it needs to be yet. And that's what he's talking about. That's what God is doing. Listen to what Paul writes in Ephesians 4. God wants us to grow, to know the whole truth, and tell it in love. Like Christ in everything. We take our lead from Christ, who is the source of everything we do. He keeps us in step with each other. His breath and blood flow through us, nourishing us so that we will grow up healthy in God, robust in love. Let me dumb this down for just day-to-day life here at Christ Church or any church. What Paul's saying is we're here for each other. We're here to love each other. We're here to care for each other. We're here to be strong for each other. We're here to pray for each other. We're here to come in on Sunday mornings and worship with each other. Love being in each other's company. And if you aren't, there's probably somebody that won't be in your company either. So you got to cross the lines. You got to break down the barriers. But that's what he's saying is when we come together, this ought to be a glorious celebration that we are the church. We are the household of God. Let's all get filled up on Sunday so we can go leak and pour it out all through Monday through Saturday. Come in here empty, be amongst each other and the Lord God and get filled up and then let's go do it again. And that's what Paul's saying. You know, this division, I'm sick of it, he's saying. I'm not going to put up with it. I'll get on a boat. It might take me a year to get there, but when I get there, I'm opening up a can of whoop something and we're going to take care of business. And that's what he's saying. But then he goes right into be together in fellowship, in worship, in community. You see, I want you to do something before the day's out. You don't have to do it right this minute. But I want you to look around when you are going out and see who's here. I mean, really see who's here. Because these are your brothers and these are your sisters. They are here for you. But you also are here for them. And that's what God wants. And that's when the smile comes to his face. That's when he's tickled to death to see, yeah, that's what the household of God really looks like. And then the fourth verse that we read today, it means we are meant to be together. This isn't something that we have to figure out. This is something we have to conjure up. We are meant to be together. Verse 22, in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. Now, if you probably didn't catch this, but verse 21 ends with in the Lord. Verse 22 ends with in the Spirit. You see, what Paul is emphasizing is you need to know the Lord Jesus Christ. And then Christ is going to put his Spirit, what he left behind when he went to be with the Father, he put that in you and me. We can't do this work without being a follower of Jesus Christ and allowing the Spirit to move. That's why I always say, you know, I know when you hear people get up here like this and talk, you go, well, Skip, I don't really like to talk to people I don't know. I'm not really good at speaking. I like to do things behind the scenes. Praise God, every one of those is a ministry, okay? But when the Holy Spirit moves you to do something, I'll promise you that is God's way of saying, don't worry about what to say, don't worry about what to do, I got it. Just be available. And that's what Paul is saying. When you accept the Lord Jesus Christ and you are inhabited by the Holy Spirit, when he comes into you, it changes everything. And he will guide you. He'll tell you what to say. He'll tell you what to do. He'll help you make decisions. But ultimately, you are acting out being a member of the household of God. And what Paul is saying is, if we abide in Christ, Christ abides in us. And you know what? And listen to this word. It's impossible to be separated from Christ. You might think you are. You might think, well, you know, well, God, I don't know where you are. He's right here. He's right here. He's that close. Might even be inside me, and I'm still not getting it. But he is. And that's what he wants to guide, how he will guide us. And attached to that Holy Spirit and attached to how we act that way is unification, being together, being unified. We all are one. Every brick you put in a building, every stone you put is not the exact same brick. But you step back when it's all done and you go, wow, that thing is beautiful. But I know, I've seen people make brick. They all might look the same. They're not. There's a little this, a little that. The stones are the same way. But we need to reside and abide in Christ. And then he will reside and abide in us. Listen to what John wrote, chapter 15. And this is Jesus is talking. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. Paul knew what he was talking about when he wrote, you know, you need to be in Christ and you need to have the Holy Spirit. Then all this stuff I'm talking about will happen automatically. If not, you're going to continue to be disunity, angry at each other, hate each other, not want to be with each other. And Paul says, I'm not going to put up with this in my church because it's not what the church is supposed to look like. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. And they gather them and throw them into the fire and they are burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. I want to close with this, and I've probably already said it, but I'm going to say it one more time. And for those of you that don't know, I was here at this church when it first started. Matter of fact, I don't know how many, somebody in here can probably tell us, but we were in more buildings, I think, than a hobo. But we eventually built this beautiful building by the hand of God, and I want to get into the story. But one thing about it, those of us in this household, we knew that God's hand was in it, didn't we? But this church is not about the brick. It's not about the mortar. We got all this beautiful hardy plank out here. Some of it even looks like shakes, like New England shakes. That's not what the church is about. We worked and worked and worked to figure out how to make these floors so beautiful. This is concrete, sawed. I had a guy ask me one time, where did y'all get those tiles? I said, what? Yeah, he thought this was a tile. And this is acid stained and washed, and they put this color down. And we came in here and put up trim and, you know, beautiful seating, but it's still just a building. See, Christ Church is not a physical building. It's a spiritual building. Now, don't get me wrong. God's hand built this. He got us the finances. He got us the gifts of the land. He got all you people in here, and most of you came in here. You might have swept. You might have done this. You done that. You rearranged chairs. But ultimately, the building we're talking about is the building that will go and live in a really pretty, jacked up place, heaven. So don't ever think this is heaven, even though it's a beautiful building. In the summertime, grass looks nice. We went and got centipede and some Bermuda out there. You know, we were all about it. But then all of a sudden, the church started coming in on two legs, started sitting down in here. This is what made this place. And this will make it going forward. Listen to what 1 Peter says. You also are living stones, are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. We're part of God's spiritual building project. And I emphasize the word project because project typically means it's still ongoing, and it is still ongoing. But when somebody comes in that door, you set the tone, because they may not know anything about Jesus. They may not know anything about God, but they walk through that door and they go, wow, feels good to walk in here amongst these people. What do those people have that I don't have? Nothing except you accept Jesus Christ, and now you're a member of the family. And you're not alone, because this family extends all over the world. This just happens to be the local family. Living stones. Not a big old rock. Not something we're going to chisel out. But living stones you are. And I can tell you this. So those of you that think you don't have the right gifting or the talent or the whatever, let me tell you this. God has already shaped you into that stone, that brick. And he already knows where you're supposed to fit. Now you just got to hang out a while with all the other bricks and all the other stones, and you're going to figure it out. So don't worry about it. I'm telling you, it's already done. You hang out long enough and just love the Lord and love each other, you're going to go, wow, I fit perfectly right here between the Joneses and the Alexanders. It's where I'm supposed to be. But if a guest comes in, I'm going to give them my seat. I'm not going to go, you can't sit here because I got to sit between the Joneses and Alexanders. I mean, even the house of God turns into protective territory. Have you ever walked in? I mean, I love to go to different churches back, especially when I was in college. And, you know, you walk in and you go in a pew and then somebody kind of goes. I go, okay, let me moonwalk out of this one and go to another one. But you have already been chipped and chiseled and made into a perfect stone to fit somewhere. When I was studying for this, I read something. It kind of blew my mind. But, you know, you see these pictures of these incredible columns, these in Rome and other countries like that. Do you know a lot of those columns are not one stone? They're a bunch of stones put together to be perfectly round in a column. I thought, that takes some pretty talented people. But that's exactly what's going on here. So I promise you, God is saying, he's asked me to say this to you in my spirit. He told me to say this, but he says, I have shaped you beautifully. Now allow me to put you together to be part of God's unified house. And in closing a second time, I will say this. There aren't many different peoples. There's only one people. There aren't many churches of God. There's one. If we're all doing everything the right way, there's only one. United under the headship of Christ and built on the foundation of Christ. That's what changes lives. So, brothers and sisters, you did not come to church today. You are the church. We were once outsiders, Paul has said. We were once outsiders, but now we're in. No matter where you came from, no matter what your background. So let us praise God for this astonishing, complete, and eternal welcome into this household. And my prayer for you and for me today is that we will go out and we'll take our spiritual construction project out with us, and we'll bring others in, that they might know the love of Jesus like you do and I do, that they might come and sit next to you and become your friend. They might come to the next community life event or whatever's going on in this church. They might come because they go, that's where I belong. I like those people. I like the way they hang out together. I like the way they're unified under Christ himself. That's where I belong. In Jesus' name, amen.